Rob.
Then Kale Show.
Rob Sanders.
His own mother slapped the stork that delivered him.
And Kale Hall.
He doesn't deserve to be in this business. He deserves to have been blackballed.
Rob. Then Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the Rob and Kale Podcast. I'm Rob Sanders. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. My buddy Carolina Jackpot has returned from vacation. He is up in the upstate, the number one Gamecock person on YouTube, Carolina Jackpot. Jackpot, what's up, brother?
Not much. Taking it in today. Just took a day off from sports and social media and whatnot. Took a day of rest and try to get my batteries re-energized for the week to come and the stretch run.
Well, let me get you a little bit happier here, Jackpot. This might make you a little bit happier. Let's talk about something we both can agree on.
Pitch on the way. There's a shot to Dansby. He slides to it. He's got it. Throws over. There is a new champion of the National League, and it is the Atlanta Braves. They have won the 2021 National League pennant, and the Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series.
There you go.
Yeah.
Baseball there. That'll make us happy, right?
That was awesome.
Yeah. That was definitely above average. But we've got other things to get into this evening. It seems like both of our teams are on the verge of being shitholes, Jackpot. That's pretty much the only term that I can use.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, most seasons, your team, you know, they establish an identity pretty early on, and then they, you know, if you're, you know, rebuilding, you usually start to get a little bit better each week, just a little bit better each week, barring, you know, injuries and things like that. This team has, South Carolina has all, has went backwards this year. I mean, they look the best that they have in game one. And yeah, I know it was against horrible competition, but still, that's the highlight of the season so far, is a big blowout win over Eastern Illinois. That just puts in perspective how sad things are right now.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a moment. Let's thank our sponsors first. Callaway's Bar and Grill, callawaysbarandgrill.com. I tell you what, man, when you look at it, leading the way in the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge, Christian Young, with a week of six, he maintains his lead. He broke the 50 mark. He's at 50, and then it kind of goes down from there. Best scores of the week. We only had 10 games because I was stupid and didn't put an 11th one on there. But we had 10 games and two pushes this week, UCLA and Oregon, and the Kale Hall special, fucking Hawaii and whatever podunk fucking team they were playing ended up
as a New Mexico State.
New Mexico State, yeah. A couple of people, I think seven people got sevens this week, including Chris Rich, Jonathan Lorman, Dixie Normus. I also got a seven this week. I was pretty... You know, wow, I don't normally have been very well this season, but 50 is the top of the leaderboard, and then it kind of goes down from there. Everybody's still pretty much in the mix. I mean, there are a ton of games left. So, like, I was 14 games out of the lead last week, and then now I think I'm like 8 or 9 back or something like that. I mean, so you can, if you have a couple of good weeks, you can really make up some ground, right, Jackpot?
Yeah. I mean, you got to hit your stride now, though. You got to be getting those sevens and eights consistently. So this is normally right around the time of year when I start to heat up really, really good. So watch out.
Well, watch out for Jackpot. All right. So Callaway's Bar and Grill in West Columbia. We are having our live show there on Black Friday. Wait a minute. I wonder if I'll get in trouble. Like, is that a racist statement calling it Black Friday?
No, I think it's still called Black Friday.
We can still get away with that? Okay. So yeah. Black Friday, we're having our live show.
Black crayons aren't racist either.
Good point.
Neither is a black tie affair.
So we can use black tie affair, black crayons, and Black Friday. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the Bible's black too. normally. Unless you get the new King James Version and it's maroon in color.
We're having some race theory classes here on the Rob and Kale show. We're going to get canceled before the show even gets moving. Anyway, Black Friday, we're going to be at Callaway's Bar and Grill in West Columbia. We'll have a live show there. We're going to have trivia, and we're going to have Jackpot out there picking games and all kinds of other crazy stuff. So we'll get into that. Brock says the proper name is African American Friday. Okay. I don't want to get into that mess. Yeah. But Callaway's Bar and Grill, callawaysbarandgrill.com. Also, Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport, he will be at the live show we're going to have. He, of course, moves whatever it is you've got. Dennis can move it. DNC Trucking and Transport. He sponsors Fireside Chats with Uncle Jackpot. Jackpot, tell us the story.
All righty. It sucks to be a Gamecock. We almost lost to Vandy. How dumb are our fans? They think they have a shot against Clemson. We are truly clueless. We may not win a game the rest of the season. We are an absolute shithole. It forever sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Make sure that when you see Dennis, you tell him he loves the Rob and Kale show. All right, Jackpot. Look, last night, let's do stuff.
Quick quiz over here. Ryan Sheik says, how much do y'all weigh? None of your fucking business. How about that?
How about ask your mother? How about that? She likes it. Go with that. How's that sound? Ask your fucking mom. She does my laundry. Go with that. Thanks for listening. Anyway, let's talk about South Carolina last night. They went down to Texas A&M, a tough, tough place for them to play. And the Aggies, well, they jumped out early.
Fielded by Anais at his own 5. Outside the numbers, now to the 10. Cuts to the left side, at the hashes, to the 20, 25, 30. Anais, middle of the field. Now outside the hashes, Anais, he could go all the way. Anais, 5, cuts inside. 95-yard punt return for a touchdown, Aggies.
Yeah. Kind of shot yourself in the foot there, Jackpot. And, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there. And it was pretty much all Texas A&M.
Fighting Texas Aggies, 44, and the South Carolina Gamecocks, 14.
I thought that I thought we were supposed to have a special teams guru. We're supposed to not be letting things like that happen.
I thought he was supposed to, you know, that game, that's like, once that happened, it was just, you were just like, oh, fuck, it's going to be that kind of night.
James Thompson says I was asleep for that. No, I was awake for that one. I was awake for that one. I fell asleep like before halftime.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, with that, South Carolina falls to Texas A&M. And, you know, I think that the stat that got me 11 yards pretty much at the end of the third quarter for South Carolina. You know, I thought that getting possibly what?
That's just fucking all you can do is laugh at it. I mean, what?
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't mocking. I just thought that with Zeb Nolan, maybe that they could get some chemistry with Josh Van. I didn't think that.
I mean, you were correct Wednesday night in your you had the game plan down to a T. I mean, they loaded the box, pressured him, and he folded up like an old cheap accordion. It shouldn't have taken him until the fourth quarter to yank him and go with the backup Brown there, because he did look better. He was playing against second stringers, but he still looked better, and they looked to get into some sort of a rhythm with him behind center, and hopefully you know, we see some more of him this year. Not bad. But
well, and by the way, with that, I firmly believe that, and I talked about this on the fifth quarter postgame show last night that I do for iHeartRadio in Columbia. What the fuck do you gain from having Zeb Nolan out there? I mean, I think that Brown can come back for another season. I've got to look that up. I think he has the capability of having one more year.
He can. And we have Colton Gauthier over there on the bench, who's not, I mean, this guy's not a scrub. I mean, he was like a, he was a three-star recruit. I mean, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we should be building for the future. It's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit of the Georgia fan syndrome here. But what does playing Stetson Bennett do to benefit your football team? Which, really, I mean, that's a little bit different of a situation. And he has played well, and you're going to play somebody if they're playing well. But I mean, what is playing Zeb Noland all the time? Now, I get it. Last week, yeah, he saved the day. What does playing him do for you for the future? Nothing.
I mean,
it's supposed to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah, I don't understand what putting him out there does for you, and it's at the point now where. And you know, we had callers on our show last night. And I know people are going to be like, Rob's just saying this because he's a Clemson guy. No, man, we had callers on the show that were like, you know what? This same shit that Shane Beamer's saying all the time about everything is positive and all that. People are getting tired of that shit. Just say, hey, we're going to fucking recruit and we're going to work hard to be better. Just stop with the nonsense of, you know, we did this and this was good and we had some positives there. And maybe that's just the way Shane Beamer is.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, you know, he's he's humble. I mean, at least and he definitely gives the other team plenty of credit. I mean, you know, he tells you how great Georgia is. He tells you how great how great Vanderbilt is. He tells you how great Texas A&M is, and not taking anything away from Texas A&M. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're a good team. I mean, the version we saw a month ago that was asleep at the wheel was just, I think, basically due to them having to change quarterbacks twice. And that guy had to get into a rhythm. But still, I mean, and I get it, they have a really good offense. But, I mean, you have 0 points on the board, and it takes you until midway through the third quarter to get a fucking first down. Most teams get down on the first drive. So, yeah, I mean, you can't really sugarcoat a loss but so much.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to pivot and go from here. They've got the bye week, and then they welcome in Florida. Beamer was, of course, asking for folks, hey, make sure you show up for these last three games. He was pretty adamant about that in his press conference. So, I mean, do you think people are going to show up for the last three, Jackpot?
But no, based on what I've seen, no. I mean, what was that article you sent me over, that guy from the Anderson newspaper wrote about the Gamecocks and how Clemson devotes like 43% of their athletic budget funds to football, and South Carolina only devotes like 25%.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, all that sounds good, but I mean, I questioned his journalism when he talked about how he was a South Carolina graduate. And he says on there that 2 weeks ago, the homecoming game against Vanderbilt was packed. And it talked about how passionate the fan base was. It wasn't fucking packed. The upper deck of that stadium was half empty on both sides. What is he talking about? The announced attendance there was 66,000. We'd be lucky there was 46,000 people there for that game. So no, that wasn't accurate. So I questioned some of the other.
He wasn't a journalist. It was just an opinion piece from him that the Anderson Independent Mail printed.
Oh, okay.
So I sent you that because he made some points there that we may get into in a little bit, but. The road gets tougher here for South Carolina. They got a couple of weeks to stew as they will welcome in Florida 2 weeks from yesterday. Clemson went up to Pittsburgh and they were a shithole. They lose 27-17, but SEC Dog was talking about this play.
He gets the snap, rolls the pocket right, shovel pass. It's intercepted on his way. That is Sebastien Dennis. He's going, gone with an intercepted shovel pass.
Yeah, that led to the beginning of the end there for Clemson, and Pittsburgh comes out on top.
Three on the huddle clock, 2-1, picket snap, knee, and this ball game goes into the record books. The Pitt Panthers have defeated the Clemson Tigers 27-17. The Panthers are 6-1 and climbing.
Yeah. What I took away from that game. Go ahead.
This has got to be their best season in a long, long time. You have to go back a long way to find them have this kind of success this late into the season.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing with this is that you can look at it from a couple of different perspectives. You could say if you want to be the person that's going to, you know, shout rah-rah and Clemson this and Clemson that and everything else, you could say, look, Clemson lost to three teams that are ranked in the top 25, and Clemson's had to deal with injuries and, you know, and look at the talent that they lost. But the realistic thing from this is they're just not very fucking good.
Yeah.
I hate to be the one to put that out there now, but when you watch that game, look, you could talk about the defense was okay, and the defense hasn't played bad this season. We can't go with that, but the reality is that they're not that fucking good. They used to have stone cold killers on this fucking team, and they don't anymore. The offense is soft. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there now. It's soft.
Yeah.
Soft as fucking Charmin soft. And I don't think getting rid of Tony Elliott will fix that.
The term used to be softer than baby shit.
Yes, sir. That's a very valid term. But the only way to fix that, ladies and gentlemen, is fucking recruiting. And,
I mean, you don't have a hammer in that backfield like you know, Wayne Gallman, and to some certain extent, I thought that I thought Travis Etienne was a hammer. It was a hammer with a lot of speed. But you don't have that. You don't have a dynamic. You don't have a dynamic playmaker at wide receiver either. You don't have the Justin Ross pre-injury. You don't have a Mike Williams. You don't have a T. Higgins anymore. It's just I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And then at quarterback, and the quarterback, obviously that position is, that should just be up for grabs this week. I mean, that guy, I mean, I think that they may have closed the book on him.
Tony Elliott, by the way, he said basically all positions are open for competition. Really, Tony? Really?
Well, it should be every week, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
why the fuck would you say that to the press and for the whole world to see it?
All your positions should be up for grabs every week. Every week they should be up for grabs. So on the offensive line, I mean, somebody else is performing better in practice. You yank that guy, put that one in, put the one in, and gives you the best chance to win. That's coaching 101. He shouldn't have to even speak on that.
Yeah, I got nothing on that, but the first thing they need to do, and if you watch the game, I went back and rewatched some of it today. Justin Ross, who's supposed to be the guy that is the lockdown, you know, receiver for Clemson, when Fomichu came into the game, he jumped up and was happy. It's like, oh shit, look at this, we might have a chance now. They pull Fomichu out, they put Uiagalelei back in, and the body language shows. Yeah, it's not much, man. It's not much. So they need to pull the quarterback.
I got nothing. I mean, that's bad when you don't have confidence in your quarterback and you show it. that's rough.
Yeah, well, Clemson plays Florida State this week. They are a I read the line and laughed at it. Jackpot, have you seen the line?
I saw Clemson. They were a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, they are a 10-point favorite. I laughed hysterically. By the way,
Florida State's hot. I mean, to be honest, Florida State's hot right now. Well, have they won three in a row?
Yeah.
No, they've won. They beat Syracuse, right? Beat Syracuse, beat UNC, and then they beat UMass yesterday. I mean, they struggled with them like in the first quarter. But, I mean, they won like 59-3. I mean, that's all you can do when you're playing a team like that, stuff, just blow them the hell out, and they blew them out. So they're getting better at the right time.
Magic number for Clemson is simple. It's 17. They haven't broken 17 points against an FBS opponent all season. So until they fix that, they're going to be a shithole, and that's just the way that it is. They got to figure out, I think, at quarterback, figure out what's going on there, because Uiagalelei, man, he just doesn't have it. He may come back and shock the world, but at this juncture, I mean, he's missing reads. He can't. He gets happy feet in the pocket. It's just, you're just like, my goodness, man. And then, of course, they lose Bokhorst, their top offensive lineman, to injury. Justin Foster's also done. Nagata is out for the year. So,
oh, really?
Nagata's out for the year.
Well, he had COVID.
It's Latson. I'm sorry. Latson's out for the year. Okay. Latson. Yeah. So, Latson's out for the year. So, it's like, you may get to a point now where people are just like, fuck it. We're done for the year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you may see them. You may see them phone it in. How many games have they won? Four.
They're 4-3 now.
4-3. I mean, I don't know what. Who do you have left on the schedule? So
Florida State, Wake Forest.
Okay.
South Carolina, that would be, let's see here, 4-7. There's one more. I can't remember who the other one is.
Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville. All right, let's go out to the phones. Welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, yes. I wanted to talk about Jason Brown from South Carolina.
Sure, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
Yes, I want to talk about Jason Brown in South Carolina. How does Carolina Jackpot feel about how his play was later on in the game?
Well, I mean, he looked better than Zeb Nolan did, but, I mean, that's not, you know, that's comparing. I mean, he was awful, so anything was an improvement. I think he was like 8 of 14 passing, but, I mean, I don't know who all Texas A&M had out there on the field. For one, because I was deeply intoxicated, and number two, I don't know who was on their first string and second string, but I'm sure they had a lot of second teamers there. But he did look a lot more loose than Zeb Nolan. The line got a little bit more protection for him. So yeah, I don't know. I would definitely split time between the two. Now, I mean, South Carolina's got a bye week. Maybe they get some things figured out. I don't know. Probably not, but, you know, Florida's another team. One of the guys up there, Brenton Cox, leads one of the SEC leaders in sacks. So I can see him being one that gets a lot of pressure on Zeb Nolan. Also, the guy's got concrete in his feet. He's not going to move around. He's not mobile at all. And then Jason Brown threw two interceptions last night too. So, I mean, be honest with you, I don't think either of them are really very good. You know, another thing that I think is a problem, EJ Jenkins got targeted one time with a pass last night, one pass, caught it, 14 yards. Why this man doesn't see the field more, why he doesn't get more balls thrown his way, I don't understand that. I think that, I mean, he's still just a matchup nightmare. It's just so sorely underutilized, I must say, in the passing game, which, I mean, it just absolutely makes no sense to me. It's another thing. It just goes back to piss poor coaching and play calling.
At the same time, I'm looking at it as Jason Brown has not played in not one game. But if you look at the game, even though the second string was out for Texas A&M, the second string would have definitely started for Troy or definitely started for East Carolina. I feel like he would have moved a lot better than even though Doty did, even though he probably should have had surgery in the beginning when he broke his foot in the first place.
Probably so, and I think that raised a lot of question marks to me too, with this coaching staffs. Why that guy was why they rushed him the way they did, and why the team doctors cleared him to play, and it just I don't know. Something's not right with that situation.
It definitely seems some past must champ things. We definitely dealt with that for 5 years.
Yeah, it looks to me like Will Muschamp never left. But once again, we're playing with, you know, mostly all players that are recruited into his system, so it's going to look that way for a while. But hey, you know, it is what it is. It's sad. It's hard to watch right now. And this bye week couldn't come at a better time because, I mean, quite frankly, I'm tired of watching Gamecock football every week. I need a break from it. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way I do, but shit.
No, One last question, Caroline Jack. How do you honestly feel about the last game of the season against Clemson?
You know, if South Carolina can figure something out offensively against them, or in the next 4 weeks, if they can figure out some way to move the ball consistently, then, I mean, South Carolina's got a shot. It's a home game. The Clemson's offense is not very good. With that being said, I mean, I think South Carolina's run defense, especially the run defense, got exploited a little bit. I think that, you know, the South Carolina's defense being so highly ranked a couple of three games ago was obviously, you know, just pie in the sky numbers that were not true. I think the defense is really not very good. But I don't think Clemson's going to really be able to move the ball against them consistently because they can't do it against anybody consistently. They should be fired up. That being said, if they don't get, they don't find some solid game plan to some way to move the ball, especially running the football, then they won't. They're not going to win because Clemson's defense is just too good, and they're not going to be able to move the ball against them. They're not going to be able to keep the offense on the field for more than three plays at a time. And, you know, I don't think it'll be ugly, an ugly blowout loss like you saw last night, because I don't think Clemson is at this point as talented as Texas A&M or a Georgia, but right. I don't see them winning.
All right, caller. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling the show, buddy. Thank you, man. All right. 803-470-2905. Yep, that's the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the program. Let's head back out to the phones. Welcome into the show. Good evening.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, good. Florida leads the FBS in interceptions. Your thoughts?
They do?
Yes, Florida, the University of Florida leads the FBS in interceptions. Your thoughts?
Their defense has picked the ball off more, or
offense. They have thrown the Florida offense.
Horrible. I wouldn't have, in FBS.
Your thoughts?
I wouldn't have thought that, but I thought Dan Mullen's a better quarterback developer than that. To have somebody throw that many interceptions is kind of shocking.
Yeah, Dan Mullen is a quarterback guru, but they lead the FBS in interceptions.
That's terrible.
It's alarming, is what it is. It's alarming. Point number two, Dabo Swinney is not a top 25 coach. Your thoughts?
If that's your opinion, then good for you, sir.
What is Clemson ranked?
They're not.
Okay. Dabo Swinney is not a top 25 coach then. Point number three, and then I'll let you go. Rob Sanders needs a pair of sleeves like a homeless man needs a piece of cake.
Okay. I hope that gentleman is not drinking tonight and he stays safe. So 803-470-2905.
Wow.
803-470-2905. That's the number to call if you want to join the program. 803-470-2905. Let's go back out to the phones. Welcome into the program. Good evening.
Hey, I just wanted to say, my Tennessee Volunteers are living up to the hype. We whoop Carolina's tail, or we will whoop anybody in the nation. I'm telling you, if we're going to play Clemson right now, we can suit up, and we will whoop that.
Lost by 28 last night.
Hey, that's Alabama. Y'all would do the same thing, and so comfortable. But hey, all that matters is we killed Missouri and we killed y'all. We are such
Wait! You lost the Missouri game.
Do what?
You lost the Missouri game. I'm sorry, the Ole Miss game. No, you lost the Ole Miss game is what I was getting. I thought you said you lost to I thought you beat Ole Miss. But, yeah, okay, so you beat Mizzou. That's great. I think everybody's beating Mizzou.
Hey, Hendon Hooker for Heisman. That dude is a freaking legend. I'm telling you, he is going to take us to the promised land eventually. Not this year, obviously, because we have a first-year head coach. But in the next coming years, I promise we will be up there in the college football playoff talks, especially since we get to play Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, terrible teams each year.
So you think playing those terrible teams is going to get you to the point where you can be a national championship contender? Is that what you're telling me?
I think it's going to help us with recruiting, and we're going to be able to get 10 more, especially with the Gamecocks. Y'all, I thought the Gamecocks were going to be somewhat decent this year, but y'all, the Gamecocks suck. We would blow Clemson out. We would blow y'all out. So, I mean, I think it's in the discussion right there. I think if y'all don't agree with me on that, then that's crazy.
Not arguing that.
I don't know.
Who do you think would win if Tennessee and Clemson played?
Well, I don't think that Tennessee is going to be, I think eventually they're going to get their sanctions. They may not go to a bowl game. So I don't know. We'll see.
Who did this year?
They might. The NCAA can come down with their ruling at any time.
I'm telling you, all I got to say.
Let's make sure we put this out there too. If you do get sanctions then that's fine. But the reality with this too, with Tennessee, because I know a lot of Tennessee fans are like, oh, none of this matters and all of that. If you don't get anything and they, you know, somehow you get a reprieve from the NCAA, pay Jeremy Pruitt his fucking money. Let's do that. You signed a contract with him. Do what everybody else does. I mean, you mentioned South Carolina's beneath you. They paid that idiot Muschamp his money. That's across the board. Pay Jeremy Pruitt his money. Hey, Stop being a bunch of cunts.
About Jeremy Pruitt.
You should be worried about Jeremy Pruitt because if you don't, he's already said everything that's going on up there, all the backwoods behind the woodshed shit that you guys do. He's going to put it out there according to his attorney. Oh, he's full of shit. Okay. He's full of shit. I mean, you guys were stuffing McDonald's bags with money, but he's full of shit. Right?
Rob,
he's just butthurt. He got fired. He's butthurt. He got fired.
Rob, what's the deal with him? Well, they haven't paid off his contract yet, or they're refusing to pay.
They say that they fired him without cause because he got them into trouble.
With cause, you mean?
Yeah, they fired him with cause, yeah. And they claim they don't have to pay him that. And his attorney's like, well, yeah, you do. So if they don't get sanctioned, it's like they're stuck. Either they get sanctioned and they could theoretically not pay him, but if they do get sanctioned, it's going to be bad. They're probably going to lose a bowl bid and everything else. But it's just pay the man his money, Tennessee fans. It's $12 million, for God's sake. What the hell? You guys can't afford $12 million? You should pay him.
He needs it. The guy's probably hurting for money.
He's an offensive analyst for the New York Giants. I think the Giants. That's where he's at.
Jets. Is it the Jets, I thought?
He's somewhere in the NFL as an analyst.
Well, so he's got all those Muschamp jobs.
Welcome into the program. Good evening.
Yeah, I got a question about Clemson, but before I do, let's address the real issue here. Halloween candy and Mike Leach. He's saying Almond Joy's the best Halloween candy bar. There's no way that's possible. So Snickers or, Milky Way is the best. At the end of the season, I think Clemson's going to get rid of the offensive coordinator. And if they do, who do you hope they go get? And I'll get off here and listen to what you got to say.
I don't know if they're going to get rid of him this season. If they do, the names that'll be out there, Justin Fuente is probably in the mix. I think that would be one guy that has a job now that is probably going to be unemployed at the end of the season. He's going to be looking for a job, but I don't know. That's a home run hire, but I don't know who they're going to go and get right now. That side of the ball is really bad.
Is Ed Orgeron an offensive guy or is he a defensive guy?
No, Ed Orgeron is a toucher in chief. I don't need one of those. I don't need one of those there. 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. You want to join us on the program this evening? Yep, Clemson's got issues. They play Florida State this weekend. We'll see how that works out. I don't know how the line is 10 points. I mean, Clemson hasn't put 17 points or more than 17 points on any FBS opponent, and yet they think that Florida State is – I know Florida State's had some issues, but they've been playing better football here lately, but I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's go back out to the phones. Welcome into the show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Wondering if you've seen the article with Trent Dilfer talking about DJ and his regression this year and how big of a disappointment he is. And he goes on to say that that Trevor Lawrence actually regressed while he was at Clemson. And even goes as far to say that if you ask Trevor, he would agree with him. Said, get him on the show, he'll agree with it. Just wondering if you've seen that and what your thoughts were. Thanks.
I did see something about that, but, you know, the quarterback coach is, Brandon Streeter. And I don't know how that works, man. It's, when you look at him, he doesn't seem to make anything after the second read. He's constantly moving. That could have something to do with the offensive line too, but they're just not, you know, people are like, oh, they're eventually going to break out of it. And you think that they would, but
yeah,
right now that's just a shithole. That's all there is to it. Let's go back out to the phones. Good evening. Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show.
Hey, this is the Biscuit. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. Listen,
I was out of pocket on Saturday, and I didn't see any of the results. How did you guys do?
Come on now.
Hey, listen, Joe. All kidding aside, I actually did watch the noon game, the Oklahoma game. Mm-hmm. Is there a worse undefeated team this late in the season that you've ever seen than Oklahoma?
Well, Jackpot, what's the only good thing to come out of Kansas? Sunshine and what?
Sunshine, sunflowers, and sons of bitches.
About felt the son of a bitch at Kansas this weekend. And
that was, my God. I mean, I can see them a close game to the wire with TCU or even Texas Tech or something like that as kind of a near upset. But fucking Kansas, I mean – my God. I mean, they got beat by 27 points by Coastal Carolina. What the hell happened in that one? I don't know.
Don't realize too. Here's the thing that people don't realize too is what we often do is I wish we just ranked all teams 1 through 130 because what we often do is we say, oh, it's just an unranked team, and we consider number 27 the same as number 127. Kansas is atrocious. That would be like Georgia walking into Vanderbilt. And yeah. Being down 10-0 at halftime.
Yeah, that's
more of an indictment than some of the losses we've seen. And the scariest part about that is if you watch the first half of that game, Kansas was getting pushing Oklahoma's defense off the line of scrimmage like 2 yards. I mean, their running backs earlier on were getting a push up front. They were getting a quarterback with the last name Bean. I've never even heard of this guy before.
I saw that, Bean.
That. You're right about that. I mean, the Kansas offensive line, they if you took those jerseys off of them, you would thought they were somebody else. I mean, because they really looked better than Oklahoma did in the first half. They really did.
Yeah, I mean, and I will give, like, when Oklahoma has great offenses, I'll give them their due. I mean, they've had some great – when Georgia played in the playoffs, that Baker Mayfield-Oklahoma offense was amazing. They don't quite have the talent at receivers that they've had. They've got good receivers. I think the future is bright for Caleb Williams. He's a good quarterback, but he's not completely there yet. But as far as them, I mean, some of these fans on these boards, they're 8-0. That's great. Your schedule gets a little bit tougher. They could get through and finish undefeated, but when they get into that playoff, I'm hoping Georgia gets them in the first round if Georgia makes it, because I don't see any way at the line of scrimmage they could do anything that would threaten Georgia.
I know they lost yesterday, but I could actually see Oklahoma State getting them this year finally. I mean, you look at that rivalry and you want to talk about one that's a damn domination. I think Oklahoma's won like 94 games and Oklahoma State's won like 15 or some crazy shit. I think they could get them this year, but they're one out of every 10 years.
Like Georgia Clemson, almost. Not quite, but almost.
Yeah,
like Georgia.
Almost, not quite. I think Baylor could get them too. Baylor's been playing well. So
they play. No, the crazy thing.
Oklahoma State to me is fool's gold. There's always a team in every conference that's kind of fool's gold. And they're. Oklahoma State seems like that to me. It always seems like you put your chips in. It's kind of like Penn State in the Big Ten, and then you pay for it. I don't know. I still feel like Oklahoma will beat them for some reason. I don't know why.
I think we could end up with Oklahoma and Cincinnati in the playoffs, and they should just change their name to bye, because that's exactly what they'll be to whoever they play is a bye week. Unless they schedule them against each other, and then you'll have in the championship game, you'll have a bye. Cause I think that whoever's on in there other than those two has a, will be so much better.
Bye, as in they go through, not as their sexual preference.
Cincinnati may have shot themselves in the foot yesterday with that 7-point win over that powerful Navy team.
Yeah.
What is it with Navy and fucking up seasons?
What do you know about that jackpot? Nothing.
They about pulled it off again yesterday.
That's funny. All right. Anything?
I heard pundits talking about Oklahoma and saying it was a letdown game. No, they've had a letdown season. Every single game they play is like that, no matter who their competition is. I mean, they scrape by Nebraska. They scrape by West Virginia. They struggled with Tulane, and Oklahoma fans are telling me at the beginning of the season, oh, wait a minute, they're really good. They're actually a really good team. They just caught us off guard, and they scored late. And then Ole Miss went out and put 40, beat them by 40. And what is Tulane now, like 3-4, 2-5? Like none of their games.
Tulane won one game.
Hey, you know, Tulane has more SEC titles than Kentucky does. Just throwing that out there. That's for a good old bluegrass sports media over there.
I remember Swanee. Tulane. Yeah, I think
you're
right. Yeah. Swanee was one of the originals too.
Please feel free to use that with your good friends from Kentucky when they run those dick suckers. Tulane has more SEC titles than they do, and Georgia Tech does as well. So fuck off, Kentucky. Anyway. Anything else, Biscuit?
He's still going at it, isn't he, down there? That'll be a good game, though. Isn't that Kentucky, Tennessee this week?
Kentucky,
Mississippi State.
The following week. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm off a week.
Okay. I'm going to go on ahead and call the L for Kentucky this week. So.
I think so too. I think even though
they haven't won in Starkville since like 2006. They always have a problem down there.
They've shown the ability to be pretty dynamic offensively. Tennessee has, even though they're 4-4, they're pretty good. You know what? I don't know. Actually, I can't even decide on that game. That's tough. That's really tough.
Which one? Kentucky and Mississippi State, or Tennessee and?
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Kentucky and Tennessee. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, they don't play for a couple
Kentucky
weeks.
But Kentucky State is tricky. That's not an easy game. I saw someone post something that said something like, easiest money in the world, take Kentucky plus two or whatever at Mississippi State. I think if that was the spread, and I think that's going to be a dogfight. That's kind of a tough road game for Kentucky.
We'll see how that works out, man. Hey, appreciate it, Biscuit.
Okay, yeah. Talk to you later. Bye.
803-470-2905. Our games that we're picking this week. FSU at Clemson, North Carolina at Notre Dame. Jackpot, that's a Friday night game, so we're going to have to pull that one, I think.
Oh, which one is?
I think, I'm making sure, but I think North Carolina and Notre Dame is a Friday night game.
No. I don't think so. I didn't pick any, I don't believe. Let me double check. I don't think I.
I'm checking the thing now. Hold on. But let me make sure here. 10:28. I could have swore that was a Friday night game, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was a Friday night game.
North Carolina, Notre Dame's at 7:30. It's the NBC game against Notre Dame on Saturday night.
Okay. Well, then I'm silly. Yep. 7:30 on the 30th. So North Carolina at Notre Dame, Penn State at Ohio State. That's a really good matchup. Kentucky at Mississippi State, Ole Miss at Auburn. Georgia and Florida, Michigan and Michigan State, Iowa at Wisconsin, Boston College at Syracuse, Miami at Pitt, and the God damn this game. The Cale Haas special, North Texas against the against the side dish. North Texas at Rice. the Cale Haas special gets better and better every week.
They get better and better every week. You know, I mean, some of these teams get more and more hideous throughout the season. If they keep on playing the way they have, I could probably use the Gamecocks in the Cale Haas special.
That might work out. Maybe we should just call the Gamecock game the Cale Haas special every week.
Yeah, I mean, the Gamecock game is the Gamecock football is pretty much anymore just turn into shut down both legs special and do nothing.
All right, 803-470-2905. You want to sound off for the stuff for the weekend? Of course, the Atlanta Braves are in the World Series, and of course, everyone says that they have no chance. It's the same story. Over and over and over again, no chance for the Braves. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they proved him wrong. Should have won that National League Championship Series a game or two earlier, or a game earlier. But anyway, wrapped it up last night. Very nice. Look at these games yesterday. Some of these were very just strange. The Army Wake Forest game, the over under, now it was 54. Both teams went well over. Well, Wake Forest did. Both of them went over the 54 by themselves. That's a basketball score in an Army game. Wow, that was nuts.
I don't think Clemson will score 70 points in basketball until January. I'm just throwing that out there.
Looking at some of the others, I mean, Mississippi State beat Vanderbilt 45-6. This is the same team. Gamecocks had to come from behind to beat last Saturday. That puts things in at home. That puts things in perspective there. So in games not played against South Carolina, in the three games not played against South Carolina this year in the SEC for Vanderbilt, they scored 6 points, two field goals.
That's
Syracuse, 41-36 over Virginia Tech. I actually won some money. Like $35, $40 on the money line, putting down $10 on Syracuse to beat Virginia Tech yesterday, 41-36. Do you think Justin Fuente will be back?
No. I think that they are fed up with Justin Fuente. So I think he's going to be looking for another offensive coordinator spot in somewhere. We'll find out. Good evening. Welcome into the Rob and Cale Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Dr. Vall.
What's up,
Dr. Vall?
Good.
I'm Hush, man. Just hanging out. Tennessee, they're going hung in there with them until the beginning of the fourth quarter and then gave up 28 points, didn't they?
Yep.
That's some bullshit.
Hey, Dr. Vall, were you old enough to smoke a cigar the last time that Tennessee won over Alabama? It's a real question.
2007, wasn't it?
2004, I think.
2006.
2006, whatever. So 15 years ago.
I would have been – no, I was not. I'd have been about 16 or 17 years old.
Oh, man.
I'd never smoked a cigar after Alabama win, after a Tennessee win. It's been bad in that rivalry.
I've never smoked one, period, so we're all of that.
That's a cool tradition, by the way, and the students all doing it. They don't have any fucking clue about it, but it is a cool tradition. But
yeah, it does look cool. It looks cool to be able to fucking do it, but you know, unfortunately, we never fucking get to.
But when that does come up, though, think about this: when the year that Alabama slips, and it'll happen eventually, they're not gonna win the next fucking 70 in a row, hopefully. But the year they slip up and you guys actually beat them, man, that's going to be that cigar will taste sweet. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, they've always said that the Alabama, Tennessee, it goes in streaks. You know, throughout history, it's always been a streaky rivalry. I think we had a streak where we beat them 9 years in a row back in the 90s, early 2000s.
Probably so.
It'll come back around. But if we can quit.
Alabama forgets when they had like Derek Lassick and they were just a world of shit. They forget right. Those teams. It's just Nick Saban. But they forget when. They were there.
So, oh yeah, I remember watching Alabama just getting shit housed by like Mississippi State, like in 2001. Just watching that game, and I kind of grew up thinking Alabama was shit. I mean, when I was a kid, you know. But
yeah, I remember going to a South Carolina game in like 2001.
Nobody's talking about is the Ole Miss Arkansas Ole Miss. Auburn game. They got a go-to, Jordan Hare. Ole Miss a little banged up. You know, LSU didn't even really put much of a fight in their game against them. I think Auburn kind of rolling. They beat Arkansas pretty handily. I think Auburn gets the win there at home.
Yeah. Game's at a pick'em, it's opened up at Auburn as a one-point favorite down to a pick'em in some books, so looks to be dead even.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Ole Miss is a Ole Miss. I fucking hate Lane Kiffin. I can't stand him. I wish that damn dude would have hit him in the damn face with that golf ball. But anyways, I hope they lose. And I hope Kentucky loses just because of bluegrass sports media, because he likes to run his mouth like they're fucking Alabama or some shit. Because they're 6-1.
But they're 6-1. Didn't you hear? They're 6-1.
I'm 6-1. I'm fixing to get my fucking shit pushed in.
How much are you looking forward
to fucking Tennessee?
How much are you looking forward to that game? Seriously. How much are you looking forward to that game there, Tennessee fans?
It's coming at the perfect time. We're banged up. We'll get Cade Mays back. We'll get all the guys that are banged up back, and we're going to go up there and fucking bend them over. And fucking stick our big orange cock right up their fucking ass, no lube, and fucking rip their soul apart like we do every fucking year. You hear that, bluegrass? Shut the fuck up and goddamn respect your daddy, motherfucker.
This show's going to shit.
Randall says, "Here's $2 towards the Tennessee buyout." Thank you for that, Randall. all in notes. Oh damn! You can just win the football game. You don't have to. You don't have to deep dick somebody.
Well, I sodomize the losers of the game. That's not how this works.
Sodomize, just win. Welcome into the program. Good evening.
How's it going, y'all? Bluegrass Sports Media here.
Oh, hold on, sir. Dr. Vall that just called, right, Jackpot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Vall just said he was gonna. They were going to sodomize your team, and that they have an orange cock. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't have anything to say about that. He was talking about Cade Mays, though. I heard that part. Can someone keep Cade Mays away from folding chairs? So I want him to be healthy, because he can have Cade Mays, Ellie Mays, Brees Mays. It don't matter. We're going to fucking destroy them at Kroger Field. It don't matter. Kentucky is the pimp to Hendon Hoe.
Wait, what?
We're going to pimp.
So wait, make sure I understand out. This. So wait a minute. So this is Tennessee fans say they have an orange penis and they're going to sodomize Kentucky with it. Kentucky fan calls and say that they're going to pimp out Tennessee quarterback. What the fuck is going on with you two? This is just a fucking football game, and we're talking about pimping hoes and orange dicks. That's what we've come to now.
All of a sudden, the show's turned into a damn Snoop Dogg song. College football season. This rivalry has just took a huge left turn.
Yeah, I would like to say though, if his penis really is orange, he should probably seek medical help. That's not normal.
Are you sure?
Anyway, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I went to health class. It was in Kentucky, though, so could be bad information.
So, yeah, so, I mean, you went to health class, and you're health instructor said, if your dick is orange, go to the doctor. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty sound advice.
That's what I've learned from the program this evening, Jackpot. If your dick is orange, go to the doctor. There you go.
You might, yeah.
Yeah. If Rob, you're pretty good at knowing college football, right? I mean, you at least.
No, man, I'm just a fucking idiot. I just hang out with Jackpot because I like him. I really don't know anything. But go ahead, what you got?
Hey, can you tell me the last time Tennessee won 10 ball games?
It was like one time. Like, it's only happened once in your history. So, are you talking about Tennessee or Kentucky?
No, Tennessee
hasn't
won.
Tennessee hasn't won 10 games. But see, look. You know what, and I get where you're going with this, but the reality comes back to this. Tennessee's program has been a shithole for a while now, but Tennessee at one point was a national champion, and you can actually go and watch that, and it's in color. Kentucky has never won shit. We talked about this earlier. Hold on. Tulane has more SEC titles than you do. Georgia Tech has more SEC titles than you do. You're building something up there, but let's just stop in this whole nonsense of Tennessee is completely their shit forever. Tennessee was pretty good at one point. When I was growing up, that T normally meant somebody was whipping your ass. Now they've got to get back to that. But whenever I've seen Kentucky play, and I lived in Murray, Kentucky for 4 years. Okay. So I went to Kentucky games. Kentucky generally got their face fucked by just about everybody. So just this whole thing of you think that Tennessee's been a shitter forever is not really fair. It's really not.
I never said forever. They're just a shitter now, and they're going to be a shitter for the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, the guy they think is a good coach right now, it's all give it a year, he'll be figured out by the end.
Okay, well, look, let me ask you this. Mark Stoops has built a hell of a program, right? I mean, he's done and – he's made a lot of chicken salad out of chicken shit and all that. All right, we can agree on that. What happens when next year, when you lose everything? I read the percentages yesterday in the SEC. As far as players that we know for sure are gone, Kentucky is number one in the conference as far as guys that are out. And next season, you may go, let's say that everything goes right and you go 11-1. You could go 3-9 next year and not even miss a beat. That's not consistency.
Also, it would be like Clemson.
You think Clemson's going 3-9? You want to bet me on that? I'll bet you $1 million Clemson doesn't go 3-9.
What's the difference between 3-9 and 6-6? You're basically irrelevant.
6-6, you go to a bowl game. 6-6, you get extra practices.
Oh, you can go to the Dollar Store.
3-9. No, hold on. First of all, going to a bowl game for Kentucky used to be the Super Bowl. I mean, you actually had something to watch in December other than whatever coach was paying for players at basketball. So let's just put that into perspective. But don't try to run at Clemson either. They won 2 out of the last 5 national titles. Okay? That's something your program has never even remotely fucking sniffed. So you're not on the same level.
They've won 2 out of the last 5 games, too.
It's like me talking about Clemson hoops to you as a Kentucky fan in basketball. I don't belong there. You don't belong here.
That's not what the AP poll says.
I don't give a fuck what the AP poll says. I got a fucking championships. The championships show that you don't belong here. And you don't.
And DJ says you don't belong in the top 25.
And that's fine. But the reality is that doesn't take away the national titles.
The reality of it is.
I hope Clemson slips to the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl and they get Kentucky because I think Clemson will win that game.
Listen, you won't have to win Kentucky at the end of the year, sir.
We'll see. We're projected to go to the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl.
One of the projections had Tennessee in the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl against UNC.
That might work.
Did you see one of those projections? One of those guys had South Carolina going to a bowl game.
you're serious? Are you serious? Or are you just joking with me?
No, they did. They had them in the Independence Bowl, I think, against somebody. East Carolina, which makes no sense. which already fucking played this year. So I don't know if that was a mistake or what, but I mean, if that's true, I mean, what two games does he think that they're going to win to become bowl eligible? Because I don't see it. I do not see it.
I like Mizzou. Hall & Oates says Kentucky is known for Jim Cornette, and that is it.
Well, that's enough.
That's enough. That's all you need. Jim Cornette, by God.
Exactly. Right, well,
Mr. Bluegrass Sports Media, you got Mississippi State this week. Good luck, sir. Good luck.
Don't need luck. We're too good to fail.
Bible Belt Beauty said I think DJ would play better barefooted. That could be. Like Jimmy the Superfly Snuka, who wrestled barefooted.
I don't know what that would have to do with anything, but okay. Whatever. At this juncture, you know, what does he need? That's pretty much where we're at with that. Welcome into the program. Good evening.
This is Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Hey.
Hey. Just coming in to make a few comments. I want to ask you, because I'm in the tail end of this, and I'm not a Georgia fan, but what is it specifically about Kirby Smart? You don't think he's a top 25 coach? And I don't, you know, not to offend anything, but what is it right about him that?
Well, we've already been over this. I don't like the way that he deals with I don't like the way that he deals with the media. I don't like the way that he handled JT Daniels last season, where Daniels was telling us one thing, Kirby Smart was telling us something else. I don't like the way that he did with Fromm and Fields. I mean, we can go on and on and on.
Oh, I got you.
Maybe it's because I think that Georgia's had enough talent where they should have at least one national title by now, but they don't. Ed Orgeron's won national titles with less talent than Georgia has. So maybe I just expect more for Georgia than the Georgia fans do. And I think he's a galactic underachiever as far as on the wins and losses front at the end of the year. Kentucky game, the Texas game was, he point blank said that Tom Herman was better than we were this week. I mean, do you really want your coach saying that? So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of little things and I just don't like him. Simple as that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. It's just my opinion. Just, people can like not like somebody, and you can just not like them. So that's just the way that it is.
So switching to Kentucky.
Yeah.
If strength of schedule was factored in like the BCS was and the wins by how much you won by, where would Kentucky be? They beat Missouri by 7, Chattanooga State Community College by 5, and South Carolina by 6. And now the Florida wins look like it's Florida shit.
So
based on strength of schedule and win margin, where would they be?
I don't know. And they won a lot of games at home. They sure have played a lot of home games. I think the South Carolina and the Georgia game was the only ones they played on the road. Yeah, factor that in too.
Could you imagine going to Kroger Field with your son on an official visit and Kentucky recruiter said, Jimmy, you could be playing on here on any Saturday before 50,000 fans?
Bluegrass Sports Media Online says he wants me to ask you how much they beat Florida by. But I, you know what? Respectfully, I'll answer for you, Billy. It doesn't matter. Florida's a fucking shithole. Florida is a shithole.
He don't understand that.
Jesus.
He doesn't know. I think he's active duty Army too, if I'm not mistaken, which explains everything.
Well, we're not going to rip the Army here on the show, but you could be. You don't have to be active duty Army.
Wake Forest did enough job of that yesterday.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this guy. I feel sorry for this guy. You know, he's and ask him what a fluke is, and we're not talking about a hole in the top of a whale's head either. Ask him what a fluke season is. Later.
Thanks, man. 803-470-2905. We'll take a couple more calls before we get out of here.
Did anyone in here see, and you probably didn't, anyone in here happen to see when Uncle Lou played the video on his morning show one day last week? I just happened to catch it when I was on vacation of the dead whale that was filled with gases that blew up in the ocean.
I've seen that video. It's like, oh, it literally blew up like it crazy.
Blew up. Ugh.
Not what you want.
No.
803-470-2905. If you'd like to join us here on the program, we'll take a couple more calls before we get out of here.
Bible Belt Beauties grew up in Harper Ferry, West. What was it? Something happened there.
Harper Ferry, what? And West, where's that at? I don't know.
Harper's Ferry, some kind of something had to do with the Civil War or something took in place in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
Right. A couple of comments here. Biscuit says Kirby's winning over 80% and 37. And all of those numbers are great. Where's his national title? Why didn't he win the SEC East last season? Great coaches figure that shit out. Just saying. Remember, Ed Orgeron has a national title. Kirby Smart doesn't. With less talent. Dabo Swinney has two national titles with less talent. You're overpaying and you have great stuff there, but you're not getting your money's worth. That's basically what it boils down to. He's a great coach. I just wouldn't want him. I think he's an underachiever. I don't want somebody that is going to not finish the job. And until he finishes the job, that's something he's got to bear. Simple as that. 803-470-2905.
Ron's talking Pruitt says Saban looks like he has one foot in the door at the nursing home. He needs to drink that Coke that he's been sitting beside him for the past 10 years.
I don't think he drinks that Coke. I think it's a prop.
That's okay. What I think. Some have Coke. Some have Asahi water out there. If it was me, and I was the head coach, I'd put a Diet Coke out there for my prop.
Why not have a beer?
Coke Zero.
The shit. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. We'll take calls for another minute or two, and then we're going to be done for the night. South Carolina's off this week. Clemson plays Florida State. There are some good games.
So, there are the Michigan State game is going to be a good one. I mean, they lost yesterday, but Penn State, Ohio State should be a decent game. Ohio State's favored by like 17, but maybe Penn State fights back. I mean, they kind of shit the bed yesterday. That was just how do you lose at home to Illinois? And we had said we thought Penn State might be a little bit overrated. And, there you go. Losing the fucking
overtime. Nine overtimes. Jackpot, what do you think of the new overtime rule?
I mean, I like it. I mean, that's going to at least, it's supposed to shorten games, I think. So you don't have any, like, seven overtime games like they had about 10, 12. Well, it may have been longer ago than that. Like, it wasn't Kentucky and Ole Miss or somebody that played like seven or eight overtimes one time. And it was, that could really, that could cause some unnecessary injury. Just as a kid. So the going for two, just a 2-point conversion is pretty good. I mean, that just puts it right there. I mean, you have to take care of business. You don't get another chance.
Yeah. 803-470-2905. I thought it was interesting, but maybe it's one of those things that I like the idea of. It seems like it's almost like penalty kicks. You know what I mean? Like in soccer or hockey, like penalty shots. That's kind of what it is, but I don't know. My favorite stat from yesterday, in nine overtimes, the Penn State only had 227 total yards. Wrap your head around that for a minute.
That was in the entire game?
The entire game, 227 total yards.
What a wet fart. Sounds like the Gamecocks. What did the Gamecocks have, like 195 yards for the entire game?
Yeah, but something like that. But
and if you look there, too, Zaquandre White had, I think he rushed for like 70 yards yesterday.
7.8 yards a carry, Jackpot, but apparently he only
touched the ball eight times.
Yeah, 7.8 yards a carry. Why not give him the fucking ball? It's ridiculous. I'm not even a Gamecock fan, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, I'm watching this game last night, and I'm literally looking at, why are you not giving Zakondre White the ball?
I mean,
holy shit.
Give it to him 20 times. Fuck.
Yeah, let's see what happens. You give him the ball 20 times. Or better yet, get out in the flat and let him catch a pass in the flat, and let's see what he does with it.
Billy Cole second said Derek Mason would do good at LSU. Vandy messed up firing him. I don't know if he'd do good at LSU or not, but I do believe they made up a mistake firing him. Yeah, he went 0-9 last year, but yeah, that was a game against all SEC teams. Three of those games they were competitive in. They almost beat Kentucky, almost beat Texas A&M, and they were ravaged with COVID. They even had to cancel the game against Georgia. They couldn't even play it. So I'm like, you know, and you fired him for that?
One last thing before we get out of here, Jackpot. The Carolina Panthers benched Sam Darnold today, and reports are they're going to go after Deshaun Watson.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
I swear to you, I read that today. I am not joking on that. They benched Sam Darnold, and now they're going allegedly after Deshaun Watson. I'm in the camp of something happened in those rooms with Deshaun Watson and all that, but they need to figure that the fuck out. Okay. But the reality is this, he should be untouchable until the cops are done with him. Until all of this is gone, he should be on the commissioner's list. Which
idiot. I think he would be eligible to even be picked up. I mean, shouldn't his shit just be like frozen right now? I mean,
That's the way that it should be. But the reality is that he is not on the exempt list. But so theoretically, he could go and play. So, yeah. Steve says he's a Clemson man. You're absolutely right, sir. Absolutely right. I don't know what else you want me to say on that. What he allegedly did was shitty. I don't.
Man with an Edo sex drive.
Exactly. But no, I think that there's some of it that may be blown up, but the whole thing, if you go back and you read his Instagram post where he's literally going online to massage therapists and under his own Instagram name, holy fucking shit. They're from his Instagram. Unless he's given somebody else's Instagram to go and fucking post for him. It's fucking stupid. I mean, just stupid. Jesus. You make enough money that you can do what Michael Jordan did. Michael Jordan had a set of people that would go to Michael Jordan, would be in a club or whatever. He'd be like, I like that one. And then he'd send somebody over there and they'd make accommodations with this woman. And that woman would either be with it or not. And that was it. Jesus. You're not looking very bright,
that
sir.
Clemson education is shining. There was definitely on something shining.
Yeah, on that front, you're absolutely right. This is the fucking shithole. That's stupid. Just stupid. All right, Jackpot. We'll be back at it on Wednesday. We'll pick our games. Did you enjoy your vacation, sir?
I did, but yeah, you know, I'm ready to get back at it, man. It's tough coming back from vacation for like 2 or 3 days, you're just like sore and you're out of it. So I'm not looking forward to that. But other than that, I'm glad to be back.
All right. Well, we'll be back at it later on. Thanks for checking out the show. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you later on.
Thanks, gang.